So, present over perfect, yeah. I was just thinking, though, the worship, just so beautiful then, wasn't it? You know, and I really got what Pauline was saying about really just wanting to stay there, really, floating, because I was very blessed to be in a little patch of sunshine. And I just thought, I don't really want to move from here. Because, and I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm on a car journey and I'm the passenger, and I'm very often the passenger because Ian's usually driving, and if it's a long journey, I'll often fall asleep, you know, if it's late at night. And there's often that moment where I think, do you know what, I don't actually want to get out of this car, I just want it to keep going, and I just want to stay here in this nice place of comfort, rather than having to get out and unload everything, you know. And it's sometimes how I feel in worship, that, and I feel that that's how it's going to be in heaven, that we just feel that presence of God, and it's and everything is good with our soul in that moment. But anyway, that's what I was feeling when we were worshipping. So on with the theme. So present over perfect. So I was going to say there are probably a number of ways that we could explore this, but actually what I'd like us to do is to look at the scripture that, first of all, that I felt God led me to in order for us to explore this theme in a particular way, because I wanted it to come out of God's word. And so I really asked God, well, what scripture do I need to look at? So let's see if I can do this. I have to resist this temptation to check that it's there, even though Rod has just nodded at me. So the scripture that I want us to look at is in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29. I'm going to read from the NIV. It's up there on the screen. And the words of Jesus say to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We sang about that this morning. And so Jesus was saying to his followers over 2,000 years ago, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He recognized that being weary and burdened was something that the people around him were experiencing then, and he said he would give them rest. And the same is true today. He's saying to us, those of us who follow Jesus, or indeed anyone who will listen to his teaching at this time, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Now, when we think of rest, the word rest, our first thought is probably, physical rest. When we're tired, we recognise we need to sleep. When we're tired, we may feel the need to go on holiday, you know, get away, take a break from everyday life, have a change of scenery. And of course, we do know that it is important to take care of ourselves physically and to get enough sleep and to make time to rest and relax and recharge. But the rest Jesus wants us to have is rest for our souls, which is different and more than physical rest. So I'd like us also to read this passage of scripture from the Message interpretation, which I love this passage, and it is one of my kind of go-to passages, I must admit. And in the Message, we're encouraged to think that Jesus is saying, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And even as I read it, you know, it's that line, "learn the unforced rhythms of grace," even makes me emotional, really, kind of thinking about them. And so even in this interpretation, we hear Jesus saying, "Get away with me." But this is not "get away with me" on the holiday of your dreams or a mini break. It's not that there is anything wrong, don't get me wrong, with going on a holiday of your choice. But sometimes holidays can be relaxing and recharging. But some can be pretty exhausting, you know. Sightseeing, ticking off all our bucket list destinations, you know, activity holidays, skiing, dare I even say new wine. We often come home thinking, oh, I need a rest to recover from my holiday, you know. So it's not about a holiday, and it's not even a holiday where, you know, we go and lie on a beach and read lots of Christian books, which, I hasten to say, is my idea of a holiday. You know, I love that. I do love to do that. And that does help us to rest and recharge. But Jesus is saying, get away with me so you can recover your life. Jesus says, I'll show you, if you invite me into your everyday, I'll show you how to take a real rest. So Jesus wants us to walk with him in order to recover our lives, not live at a frantic pace and then have a physical rest and then go again. Jesus wants us to take a real rest, to find rest in our day-to-day, here and now, everyday lives, in the present, learning the unforced rhythms of grace, learning to live freely and lightly. And I think that is the journey that I've been on for quite some time, is trying to live more freely and lightly. And kind of that's another story, really, in terms of trying to maybe, it's another story anyway, perhaps, but it is related to this as well. So Jesus is inviting us into a way of life with him, to live our lives according to his way and applying his practices to our lives. Because in John 14, verse 6, he does tell us he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a life, if we walk with him and work with him, that he says will bring rest to our souls. And this is where we get to the present over perfect bit, because that's where we can choose present over perfect. We can choose to invite Jesus into our everyday, into our present lives, so that we can be at rest in ourselves. Because if you turn it around, one of the ways we find ourselves out of rest is when we find it hard to accept and appreciate our lives as they are in the present, in the here and now. So we need to come to Jesus and ask him to help us to choose to live our lives in the here and now well, to choose our present life, the life we find ourselves in, the things we're facing now and everything that we're in, with him, and to be at rest in that, you know, rather than searching for a different life, rather than focusing on a life that we feel could be better, rather maybe than focusing on a life that we even dare to believe could be a little bit perfect. So, just to be clear, I'm not talking about perfectionism here, a propensity towards perfectionism, which can have both positive and negative outcomes. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do a job well. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do something to the best of your ability or improving your skills or wanting to become a better person as we travel through our life journey. Because, after all, we should be wanting to become more like Jesus. We should be wanting to be and open to be being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, knowing that always that he is perfect and that we never will be. But what I'm saying here is, do we all have, to a greater or lesser extent, a propensity towards wanting to make our lives or our lifestyles just that little bit more perfect? And subtly, that is what the world encourages us to want. Because we live in a society where materialism and consumerism, or kind of put more simply, that desire for more is encouraged. It's needed in order to keep our economies running. And so that desire to own more and more stuff or to experience more and more of a particular lifestyle is something that capitalism actually nurtures and grows within us. And so if we're not careful, we can be drawn into always looking for that next thing that will make our lives feel perfect. I'd just like to turn to another scripture Another scripture, which is in Hebrews 12, verse 2, and where the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Now, I I'm very conscious of what Rod said about picking the scripture out of context, but so forgive me for picking a scripture out of context, but I feel it's one we quote quite often, isn't it? We say, we encourage each other in many situations in life to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And so, and I refer to this because in the context of kind of pursuing perfect in our lives, what we fix our eyes on, what we focus our attention on, is important. So as an example of how we can be drawn into wanting perfect in our lives, I'd like us just to consider for a moment the impact that visual images that we fix our eyes on, the impact those can, that can have on our decision-making and then ultimately on the quality of rest of our souls. So since television was introduced into our homes in the 1950s, and I think it's interesting because we're celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, and actually one of the first things that was a mass television audience watched was her coronation. And my mum talks about how my Uncle Jack had a television, and they all crammed in, you know, and all the family crammed in to see this tiny little black and white television, you know. And it was from then that television took off. And I actually can remember when colour television came in and how that impacted, you know. And actually, I remember Princess Anne getting married, and we all went round to my grandma's because my grandma had a colour television. And so it's gone on, hasn't it? You know, we've become used to a visual image being readily available on our TV screen in our homes. And depending on the choice of programme, of course, but a large proportion of what we can choose to watch is providing us with images of lifestyles, homes, interiors, gardens, ways of dressing, holiday destinations, etc. And along, of course, with ever-increasing advertising. The magazine industry gives us lots of glossy images to fix our eyes on. Everything we could think of covered in terms of hobbies and pastimes is in a magazine, isn't it? And then, of course, everything we could possibly need to make our gardening or caravan and camping, fishing, cycling, photography, sewing, guitar playing, that perfect experience, you know, the equipment's all there in those magazines and, you know, telling us what we need. So, and we have even more advertising directed towards us through our smartphones, our tablets, and our laptops. And those adverts, through very clever algorithms, are actually related to our previous searches and our previous clicks, so that what started as an inquisitive look starts to look more and more possible and then becomes more and more desired. And so, added to this, of course, we also have other images that are available to us to fix our eyes on through social media, so that we don't now just think about our own lifestyles and what we've got and what we might want in the future, but we can also look at other people's lifestyles and kind of look and see how they can influence us to feel like we want something that little bit more perfect. You know, we can look at celebrities and people, figures that we are in our own particular fields of interest, you know, even just closer friends and family and acquaintances. We can now kind of look at even more that maybe influences us to think that there is more that we could have, more that we could experience that could make our lives just that little bit more perfect. So what I'm suggesting here is that we can find ourselves living in our present, but influenced by all these images around us, which are constantly suggesting to our unconscious minds a lifestyle that could be that little bit more perfect. And I don't want you to think I've got all this stuff. You know, this is talking to me, you know. I'm as guilty of looking out there and looking at things and, you know, and being influenced. But I recognise that actually we can kind of get on this particular treadmill, and it can be quite hard to get off. And if we allow ourselves to get into an unhealthy way of thinking and behaving, that can pull us out of rest which is where we go back to the scripture, you know, because that is not where God wants us to be. He wants us to be at rest. And so what I'd like us to do, because as I was thinking about this, I felt this sort of pattern emerging, and I'd like us to look at this sort of pattern that could be emerging in our thinking and behaviour if we allow the power of what we fix our eyes on to have a hold on us, okay? Now, I know I've kind of focused on that sort of constant exposure to advertising to draw us into wanting more and more stuff as an example for the desire for more. And that's perhaps the obvious one. I'm not actually saying, you know, you should never buy anything new, you shouldn't want a nice home, that you shouldn't have and own nice things. But I'm just saying that what we choose to fix our eyes on, though, can cause us to desire more and more. And you can apply that in other areas of your life as well, you know. So, but I just chose to kind of focus on that. So let's start with the desire for more. Whether that's born out of the things we look at and we want to buy, or whether there's just more in our lives that we see and it gets us kind of out of rest, striving perhaps just for that little bit more perfect. And this can lead us into comparison. So then we start comparing our lives, what we have in the present, to what the world is showing us is shiny and new and desirable through their clever advertising, through the clever advertising techniques that are out there. And we can start comparing our lives to maybe celebrity figures that we follow. And many of them actually have advertising interwoven into their podcasts and Instagram posts, tempting us kind of even more. Maybe more dangerously, we can get into comparing our lives with others around us who are closer to us, family and friends. And I think comparison is just a real biggie when it comes to creating that feeling of unrest within ourselves. I think there's a little phrase, isn't there, FOMO, and it's sort of that fear of missing out. You know, I think because so much is out there that we can see, we can start feeling like we're missing out. And this can lead us into insecurity. So we might, you know, we can start to feel discontented, which might then lead to feelings of being inferior. I did then think, you know, when we get into comparing, it might even lead us into feelings of superiority, which is not a good thing. I don't think either of those, inferior feelings or superior feelings, are pleasing to God. And then perhaps from there we can then find ourselves in a place of feeling resentful and resigned, you know, it's a kind of resignation, which doesn't help our emotional well-being, and then could possibly lead us into to feelings of isolation. You know, we start to feel, well, I'm not good enough. Those feelings might creep in, that I don't really belong or fit. We might even start to feel like we're excluded. And that might then lead to loneliness. Now, I'm just suggesting that this is a possible way that things can go that are perhaps unhealthy rhythms of life that we can get into. And I think you could look at any of those in isolation, really. They don't have to follow on one after the other, but I think all of them can get us out of a place of rest. And what I'm suggesting is it is possible to start with that desire for more and the fact that the world is pulling us into wanting more. But let us remember what Jesus says to us. When we feel tired and burdened, when we feel weary and burdened, which can start with us running on this kind of treadmill of desire for more, And also the Message version said, didn't it, are you burned out on religion? Which for first century Jews was the law of Moses. But you know, I just think for us, are we burned out on what the world pulls us into? But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. So how do we do this? Well, we need to ask Jesus to help us to practice his way, to help us to find a way through these unhealthy rhythms if they get into our lives, into our thinking and our behaviour. And instead of being drawn into sort of desiring more and seeing our lives as imperfect, Jesus wants us to find a place of contentment. And, you know, we've sung today about coming into God's presence, you know, and saying, you know, all I want is you and I want to sit at your feet. You know, this is when we come to him and say, you know, I'm struggling. God, help me. It doesn't just happen when we're Christians, does it? You know, it doesn't just happen that we can necessarily find that place of contentment. If we're feeling that pull, that desire for the things that the world is pulling us into, then we can come to him and say, Jesus, help me to practice contentment. Help me to be content. Help me to take pleasure in the blessings that I have now and resist that urge to buy more that perhaps I don't really need. Or to recognise that when that pull of advertising is taking hold, or to recognise those things that make us feel discontented. And then rather than comparing, we can ask Jesus to help us to practice generosity, to resist those feelings of jealousy and envy, and to share what we have, and to know that what we have, you know, maybe our shabby and worn out, is good enough. You know, to practice the gift of generosity in our hearts, and to get out of looking outside and comparing. And then where, instead of feeling insecure, we find security in who we are in Jesus. You know, it tells us in Psalm 139, you know, it says in God's word, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we need to remember that, you know, that we, each of us, are unique. And we're what God made us to be, and we're on a journey with him, being transformed. But we are who we are now, and we ask Jesus to sort of to help us to be secure, to know that he's with us, right where we are right now, in our present. And that leads to, hopefully, acceptance, where we experience, you know, his peace, helping us not to look outside of ourselves and helping us not to feed on the world, but actually to feed on his word, and to help us maybe when, you know, those feelings of insecurity and resentment and resignation get out of hand, you know, we need to say to Jesus, look, help me in this. And it's possible that we might need to look even further, you know, for help outside. But this is what we can be doing ourselves. And then instead of coming in on ourselves and feeling isolated, then we can ask Jesus to help us to value community, to have that confidence to come alongside others. And I mean community in all forms, you know, just being able to give out love and to receive love and care, you know, to value being with others, to reach out to others rather than waiting to be invited, you know, to have that. I guess it comes back to generosity as well, doesn't it? You know, just that being in that place of generosity and wanting to share life in the present, you know, as it is with others. And then when we do find ourselves on our own, it's hoping that we can find peace then in those times of solitude, where we find ourselves, you know, on our own, feeling at peace rather than feeling lonely, but actually being in the presence of God, being present with God, enjoying his presence. And that's where we find rest for our souls. And a bit like, you know, when we're in worship and we're soaking in God's presence, you know, in that moment, we just feel that peace, don't we? We feel at rest. And that's what, and it's like we just kind of don't want to leave. But actually, the reality of life is that we do have to go out from here. And there is a world out there, and there is a world that influences us. And what I feel Jesus is saying is, you know, come to me and I will give you rest in your everyday lives out there in the world. I will give you rest for your souls. So I would like to suggest that these are maybe some of the unforced rhythms of grace that Jesus wants to show us, that as we come to him, we can practice and learn, that we can learn his way to learn to live freely and lightly. And when we can live freely and lightly, walking with him in our present, in our everyday, here and now lives, then we will choose our present over a yearning for perfect.